Not in Matthew chapter 7, I'd ask you to turn there as we look at verse 13 and 14 especially today. Dan Doriani tells the story of this young man, David. He was living a good life, he said, at 24, completed 2 years of Yale Law School, and his summer job was as a legal associate, and he made a lot of money doing that. He was a good-looking guy, as Dan tells the story, and he would hit the restaurants and splurge on the dinners and live the fun life, though he said he was a Christian. Life was good, but empty, Dan said. The parties seemed meaningless, and he wondered if he had any real friends. David had gone to church as a kid occasionally, would call himself a Christian, still had intellectual interest in the faith, but he would go for months, this young man David, without attending. One day he was writing a paper about Abraham Lincoln, this is in America, when it dawned on him, he knew how much he knew more of Lincoln than he did about Jesus, even though he professed to be a Christian. He knew Jesus was more important, of course, he knew deep down, but he had never approached his faith and love of Jesus with the kind of rigor he put in to his academic studies. So he decided at that time, David, that he would get serious. He started reading church history and books on Christianity and made time for church regularly. And by God's grace, his relationship with Christ began to consume him much more than his other lifestyle before had done. See, the reality is, even professing Christian will have points in their life where they've got to renew their commitment and their faith to Christ. Times where they have to evaluate, as 2 Peter 1 puts it, that we have to make our calling and our election sure. And the reality is, God not only draws people to himself through the hardest times of life, but also when they've tasted the quote-unquote good things of life in this world and found that those things are wanting and they want something more, a deeper relationship with Christ, a greater commitment to the Lord in faith. As we continue in our series in Matthew from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we're coming near the close, not of Matthew, but of this sermon Jesus gave, this famous sermon, as we look at it next Sunday, the last bit. It's in this last section of chapter 7 we've seen as Jesus, really from the middle of chapter 6 to the end, is driving the sermon home, looking at godly values and priorities, and he's bringing it to a close now in chapter 7, and he's been teaching us, remember, in this Sermon on the Mount, about the kingdom of God, of course, about how the kingdom of God is about this internal inner righteousness by faith that transforms our hearts and attitudes and then our actions and then our lives by God's grace. And at the heart of it, it focuses on a true relationship through Christ with God the Father. That's what the sermon's been driving home. But obviously, the cultivation, as Jesus has shown us, of this kingdom and righteousness within us isn't going to happen in this world without opposition. And that comes from false religion, we saw earlier, hypocrisy, much like the Pharisees. That can be a danger, that external religion. And Jesus spent a lot of time in the early part of the sermon going against that, dismantling that idea. But it also includes outer dangers we've seen, like wealth in this world, and worry, and works righteousness, and judgmentalism, and the traps that can be there in our relationships with people. In the last few Sundays from chapter 7, the focus continues to be on our values, godly priorities. And what Jesus is going to say as the sermon comes to a close, I believe, is that to live for God the Father, to become like Him, which is what the sermon's about in the Christian life and the kingdom, growing in our relationship with Him. Remember, we talked about prayer last week. That's the top priority. But to grow in relationship with God the Father and have a true righteousness in this world is going to take commitment. It's going to be a narrow road. It's incredibly rewarding for eternity and even in this life. And there's no other joy like following Christ, knowing the Father, and making Him known. But to live out that righteousness that comes from our relationship with God in Jesus Christ is not an easy way. I hope you know. If you're a Christian, you know. by any means. And any other teacher or teaching out there that says otherwise has missed the heart of the Bible. As the message ends, Jesus gives us a variety of choices. The true Christian is going to grow by grace. We saw that, right, one of the few weeks ago, getting the log out of their own eye, discerning in their relationships who God wants us to take the gospel to. Don't throw your pearls to the pigs or the dogs. And all these choices he's been dealing with, that's just a few of them. And then last week, will our top priority be our relationship with our Father seen in our prayer life as we ask and seek and knock, and we grow to trust our Father and know the graciousness of our God as we walk through this world? And as the final verses are here, the closing of the sermon, he focuses us in our choices as Christians on two gates, do you notice? Two roads that lead to two destinations this Sunday, and then two types of fruit, spiritual fruit, good or bad, good tree, bad tree, that we must be discerning about in our own lives, but especially the lives of teachers and preachers and people we hear to get the truth from. And then Jesus will say at the end of the sermon, you know the well-known words, building on which foundation are you going to build on, the one that stands or the one that falls? He's going to say there's two types, before that, two types of professions of faith, one false, one true, and then ultimately two ways to build your life. What are you going to build on? Will it be on Christ and faith and obedience to His Word, what Jesus has said in this sermon? Are we going to take it to heart? See, He's driving the message home. Are you going to take what I said about the kingdom as you live in this world and living for the Father to know Him and grow in righteousness to heart? This is a message to Christians, not non-Christians, ultimately. Are we going to take it to heart as we live in this world? Are we going to be on the foundation that stands and lasts, or the shaky ground that can seem okay, the sand, we'll see next week, but in the end, it's quicksand that drops in on us as the hard times come in life. So this is about, as we've seen in the recent weeks, about living for godly priorities, godly values, the values of the kingdom of God's grace that Jesus wants to build in us. He came in the world to do that as we live in a world of dangers and sin and distractions. The Lord wants us to grow to know His righteousness and live it out in Christ, and to choose to enter that road the only way that we can, which we know if we're Christians is by grace through faith in Christ alone and nothing else. Nothing that we bring, we know it's by faith in Him alone. And so certainly you can preach these messages as evangelistic messages in a way, but this message is ultimately for Christians. There is truth here for us. We're called to enter in through Christ. Jesus said in John, He is the gate. I am the gate. But we're to follow Him. We enter in by grace through faith, but then there is a response. There is a transformation that comes in our life as we continue to walk on that path. As we follow Him and we grow to trust God the Father in this world, Jesus wants us to see to do that will be hard at times. There's difficulty. It takes commitment. And this commitment is not about blind faith or just sort of being sincere and whatever. You know, we know there's that idea out there, even in churches today sometimes, and Christians, well, oh, just believe. It's just that you believe. Be sincere. You know, whatever you think, just believe hard enough. You'll be all right. No worries, mate. You know, but there is no yeah, nah, nah, yeah, nah, nah, yeah in the Christian life, if you know what I mean. It doesn't work that way. Like David in that previous story we mentioned, all would-be followers are probably going to have times in our life where there's a fork in the road. What road will we travel on? The temptation for even for Christians is always there, you know, that we can fall back into the easy current of the world, the broad road, right? It seems so attractive. Oh, it's the easier way. It must be. Maybe I can blend my Christianity with this and it's fine to be that way. The temptation is always there for Christians to do that in what seems easy, attractive. Maybe it's even the right way. But Proverbs 14, we read that one verse earlier. There is a road that seems right to a person, but in the end, it leads into destruction. So Price, this man, he said, life is like a road. We're all going somewhere. None of us is static. The only issue is, where are we going? I mean, I always like the story of Albert Einstein. He couldn't find his train ticket one time, apparently, in a story. True story. He's looking all over on the floor trying to find the ticket. And the attendant's saying, sir, sir, we know who you are. You're Albert Einstein. We know who you are. You don't need your ticket. And finally, he got up and he said, son, the problem isn't knowing who I am. The problem is, I don't know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? You're going somewhere. Jesus speaks of a broad road and a narrow road. One has a wide gate and a broad road, but the reality is that broadness in the beginning is going to result in a narrowness in the end, a dead end literally, destruction literally. It seems so great, so broad and wide, but in the end it closes in and there's destruction. Looks are deceiving. And there are many, he says, on that road. Right? The road is wide and there's many travelers and seems so happy and joyful, right? But in the end, the road closes down. There's a dead end sign that comes up suddenly. But then there is this small gate, relatively speaking, narrow gate. And while there are not many, it seems, relatively speaking, on this narrow path, only a few are looking for it. In the end, that narrow way, that journey of those who walk with Christ, and we're going to talk about what that means, in the end, that's going to open up wide to life, to true joy, eternal life, and knowing the Father God, what the kingdom's all about, what we walk with the Lord with in this world for, in the end, it's going to open up. That narrow way is going to open up in the end to blessings and true joy and everlasting life with God the Father. The point, of course, is the only way is through faith in Jesus Christ, right? We know that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. But again, the reality is the temptation remains for Christians to go on the broad road. In some way, what I mean by that is, number one, it could be that they're saved, but they drift off for a time. They backslide. They lose their influence. They don't grow as they should. They're saved. They're going to come back, but they lose what they could have and could have done. Or number two, they've had a false profession of faith like Jesus will go on to say. They say, oh, Lord, Lord, you know, I did this, I did that. Jesus says, I never knew you. But the temptation is there for either real Christians or professing Christians to go on the broad road that leads to destruction. Boy said, Jesus has taught us in the way of blessedness before God, reaffirmed the importance of God's law, examined the chief areas of religious piety and the relationship we even have with the world. And now Jesus, he says, wraps up the sermon, insisting that the only way to heaven is in obeying and building on his words. The only way. However other ways may seem wise, he says, or plausible or attractive, whatever they seem, they lead to condemnation. Like the old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Price said this message is given not primarily as an evangelistic message, but to Christians, those already his disciples, instructing them in the means of being disciples that he calls us to become. I remember one time seeing on the cover of the new members book we have in the PCA, Presbyterian Church of Australia, a rock climber on the picture of the front of the book holding onto the edge of the face of a rock. And I'm thinking, man, wow, what does that communicate to people? You know, but this is the Christian life, isn't it? It isn't easy. It is has danger. It is doesn't seem, if you really get what it's all about, it may not seem to be the most inviting thing in a way, and it takes focus on the Lord. It takes discipline. It takes walking in that narrow way. The Christian life is often, I've heard said, like going up a down escalator. You know, if you're not growing in the Lord, walking within you, you're going to tend to be pulled by the current back. So how do we walk in this narrow way? That's what I want us to look at a little bit today. Growing in the true commitment to Christ we need so that we grow in the values of God's kingdom as we live in this world of temptations and on where this seductive road, this broad road that's so inviting it can be at times. Number one is the what? Verse 13. As we focus there, we've got to face the choice. Face the choice. Verse 13. It seems to be a key practical thing I drew out of this that Jesus shows us in application here. Is that we face the reality of the choice in the world that we live in. Look at what he says, verse 13. Enter in. There's always this idea. We have to look at that. Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. The point is, the world is constantly putting this choice, isn't it, before us, telling us, go this way. This is the easier way. This is the, you know, and it can be even confusing. Sometimes churches and professing Christians seem to communicate this easy believism, you know, this cheap view of God's grace, of what it means to be a Christian. Someone said there are many spiritually complacent people who take the wide gate and broad road to destruction, evidently because it looks like the easiest or best way. But the second way, the narrow way, contrasts the few who are committed spiritually. They know the gate is narrow that leads to life, and they are seeking after that. Boyce said, having shown what God requires of those who would be in His kingdom, Jesus warns His listeners about falling by the wayside through apathy, through the deceit of false teaching, hypocrisy, or sheer folly, thus failing to enter in to the kingdom of God. So there is a warning here. Remember, Jesus has already called us, right, to serve God and seek first His righteousness. Earlier in the sermon, you've got to do that. He talked about some of the things right at the heart of it. Loving God, loving your neighbor, doing unto others as you'd have them do to you. We saw last week the golden rule. So Jesus keeps it simple and tells us to seek God. We have to depend on Him in prayer. But here He is reminding us of the seductiveness of the choice. The road that is broad, that so many traverse on and live their lives by, that we can get pulled into. And we've got to live with discipline. To be a Christian involves accuracy. It involves focus. It involves looking to the Lord. We can't just drift and think we'll make it. We've got to stay focused. There's a narrow road. To be a disciple involves focus. It's harder, but it leads to life. And there's no other way. I read about this pilot one time. He was asked about flying. And this story I read, true story I guess. And passenger asked the captain if it was boring to fly a plane these days once it was in the air. You know, because the instructions are logged in, you know, digital, whatever. And the pilot said, well, no. He said, as a pilot, I'm constantly checking my position, constantly looking at the direction, checking the position, seeing if we're on that narrow route, if we're going to where we need to go, because the route we're on is extremely narrow when we fly. He said, 1 degree off course of the compass bearing will take us off hundreds of miles in the wrong direction if I'm not focused. See, the world is, what is the world? Always just live your own way, as I said earlier, the sincerity myth, you know? It doesn't really matter so much what you believe. Just believe something and have faith, you know? And does it really matter if your faith affects the way that you live? Yes! Jesus says, no, you can't just live that way as a Christian. I mean, how many of us would like to have a pilot who didn't care about the accuracy of the flight from here to Sydney, you know? About focusing and going on the narrow way, and that pilot just say, oh, put it on autopilot, you know, I'm satisfied, you know, it's fine. We're going to Sydney. And he puts his feet up on the instrument panel and says, no worries, and he falls asleep. Nah. And we wouldn't want a doctor or surgeon who said, well, I don't really worry about what scalpel I use in surgery. Is, you know, use this one, that one. If it's clean, fine, you know, I do the best I can. Or how I cut the incision. Or a chemist who says, well, I won't be focused. Yeah, I'm not really much about the mixture of drugs, you know. Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's fine. It'll work, you know. It'll work. It's all fine. No. We know that's not true in real life, don't we? But somehow people in the world, we'll see this all the time, want to act like it doesn't really matter whether something's accurate or right when it comes to the Christian faith or to spirituality. So we must face the choice, don't we, in everyday life. Jesus is going to give us a number of choices as the sermon concludes. And he's done it throughout the sermon that we have to deal with. Will we follow the letter of the law? He's already shown that. Or the spirit of the law? Will we serve God or money? Will we trust the Father or will we worry? Will we practice righteousness for God or try to live for a religion impressing others? And he tells us here of the wide road that is easy now but deadly in the end. But the narrow way made up of daily decisions of faith, get this, this is the Christian life, the narrow way made of daily decisions of faith to live in the kingdom that is hard many times now, but it leads to growing true life as we grow in what that kingdom's about, as that righteousness of God is developed in us. This is the way it is in growing in the kingdom of God. If you're a Christian, Christ's righteousness is living in you through the Holy Spirit. He's changing you. And it's like that airplane in the illustration. If you don't think about, care about what it really matters to be a Christian, well, are you a Christian to start with? But without that narrow focus, just going off a little bit, not living with focus, it ends up being deadly, going off big time later on. But if that pilot keep focused, walking in that narrow way, well, that leads to a good destination, the right destination. That leads to life and purpose for those on that flight. And it's the way that it is in the Christian life. Growing in the righteousness of the kingdom and the character of God in Christ grows in us like this. In the little choices, as we're walking with Christ day by day, choice by choice, we want to walk with Him according to His Word. We want to build on His Word. And in those little choices, day by day, to be obedient and trust Him, to invest in His kingdom, to love others when it's hard, to forgive, to build on the rock of His Word ultimately. And all these things that are part of the kingdom, they're hard now at times. Admit it. But it's the way of Christ, and we grow in a true joy, don't we, even in this world. We grow in a true righteousness, and it's the only way we grow in Christ-like character and godly righteousness that leads to life. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? But it's the Christian life. It's the way God builds our character. It's the way He transforms us for His kingdom. And many, even Christians, sometimes want to take the easy road. Maybe it's by accident, you know. Didn't really thinking about it, you know. But what does he say here? There are few who find the narrow way. Meaning, what does that imply? They are seeking that way. They want to walk in that way. They are looking for that way. And so that's the thing. First of all, we've got to face the choice. We've got to face it every day in some ways. We have the ultimate choice of following Christ, but then we face the choices of living in this world. And God has given His people all through the Bible that idea. If you look in the Old Testament, for example, that choice, Joshua told the people, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Moses spoke for God saying, "See, I'm setting before you blessing and curse." Psalm 1 we read earlier, right? The blessed is the one who chooses the way of righteousness, delights in the law of God. So all through the Bible it's there. See, the lie is out there that there is freedom and real assurance and life and joy in fickleness. But it's not. There's not freedom in fickleness. And just, well, it doesn't really matter. Tolerance. Life is in Christ. In truth. Jesus said, "You'll know the truth," John 8:32, "and it will set you free." Let me encourage you today, if you're a Christian living in this world, it's hard to be a disciple, and myself. The way of Christ's kingdom is where life is found alone. But that way, we know it isn't easy at times, but remember the big picture. Understand that. It involves a daily struggle and facing the choice to live out the values of the kingdom. But it is in His ways alone that we find true life, that we grow in Him. And that we're prepared to live with Him for all eternity. You know, a car, as I read this, somebody said this, thought it was pretty good, but a car works best when you put petrol in the tank, not soda or Coke, right? Oil in the engine, not pancake syrup. 30 pounds of air pressure, not water in the tires. Now, if I were to sit here and say to you, you know, it's restrictive and narrow-minded you know, for you to have to put petrol in your car. Maybe you've got a hybrid one. I don't know. But, you know, you get the point here. You think I'm crazy. It's restrictive to put. You know the car runs on petrol. Abundant life is in Christ. That's what Jesus is saying. It's a narrow way. It's about Him. It's about our interest being focused on Him and walking with Him, even in this world. As we're focused on Him, not fickle, but know Him and live in Him, we find growing life and true freedom. Someone said the difference between a river and a swamp is what? The river has borders and the swamp has none. Freedom is in Christ, in the narrow focus on Him and the One who gives life, not in just free-flowing thinking and ideas. If you want to play an instrument, you know you've got to participate in the rules of that music and understand how that instrument plays. And you put your focus on it. Your discipline. You know that's the way I'm going to have joy in this instrument. Not by just saying, well, it doesn't matter how I play. Nobody wants to listen. Of course. But there's freedom in the participation. And Jesus is saying, narrow your focus on Me. This is where life is. Face that choice. I like what John Legg said in his commentary about facing this choice. He said, Christ draws the sermon to a conclusion by challenging His hearers to respond rightly to His teaching. Enter through the narrow gate is a serious demand. And Jesus sets them before that before them, with two gates, two roads, two destinies, and two classes of hearer, responder. The gate and the road seem to represent a decisive act followed by a lifelong commitment as a Christian and a walk with God, with the ending being eternal life instead of destruction and hell. So the point is, the true disciple embarks on that journey. We face the choice, and we face it daily as we want to live for the Lord. We trust in Him, and we remember that as we live in the present. And this is a present choice Jesus puts before them. As you notice, you might expect Jesus to say the wicked are already on the broad road. But He doesn't say that, does He? He's focusing in on the present situation. He's putting the choice before all who hear this sermon. And especially then, but even today, right? What will their choice be? If they reject His message, reject His mercy, and don't repent and want to live for themselves, then they can end up on that broad road to destruction. That leads me to point number two, and that's focus on God's ways. And this is the how, verse 14. The how. We saw the what, but how about the how? It says, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. I like what Doriani, this writer, said. He said, most in the crowd were disciples, but only in the loose sense. As they heard the sermon, most of them, he said, were not dedicated disciples yet. Jesus wanted to win them, but not by deception. So He told them the plain truth. See, someone said, lightly committed Christians need to hear this. On the broad road, people do as they please. But the way of Christian discipleship is hard. The gate is narrow in the fact that it is demanding also. It requires faith and focus and discipline and integrity. And we grow to focus on the one master Jesus taught about that we follow. We have that single-eyed focus that we talked about a while back. The broad road has no real demands. That's the idea. No real discipline, no integrity or character. But the narrow way, as someone said, is right smack in the middle of the broad road in this world, just headed in the other direction. And that's Christianity. We're living out what Christ has called us to, not perfectly, but by grace, right smack in the middle of the broad road that leads to hell, but going the other way. And Christ is working through us. Many entering the broad gate, but few finding it. This seems to indicate again with the idea of the word for narrow here. This was a word for trials and tribulation, things being unpopular. That all together indicate the character of those who find this life. They're seeking after it. They're looking for it. Someone said Jesus is speaking of a narrow gate and a narrow road as contrasted with the wide gate and road, warning us, get this, against taking the easy as opposed to the difficult way. To show us the comparative ease of drifting through life to damnation, as opposed to the difficulty of pursuing, seeking, finding. Few find it. and gaining eternal life. Now, again, this, we're saved by grace, but if we are saved by grace, it changes us. And we pursue Christ, like Paul said, to know Him. And living for Him in this world, those values of God make us susceptible, doesn't it, to trials. It's not easy to live out those values in the world. I mean, this broad road's a bit like drifting down the beach on a float. You know, you don't really know, paying attention, just before you know it, you're a couple of K's down, maybe not that far, but you know, the tide just pulls you out, and it can happen even in the Christian life without focus on the narrow way that's focused on Christ alone. But the point is, there is assurance in His grace, but there is a daily focus that is needed and necessary to grow in the sense of growing in godly character and kingdom values. Boy said, many who preach the gospel today are out of step with Jesus in this matter. They want to make it sound like just be happy. Jesus wants you to be happy. He wants you to have a successful life. And they kind of just make it just easy. Just all you have to do is believe. But Jesus never did that. It reminds me of the well-known story you might have heard of Ernest Shackleton, as he appealed many years ago for men to join him in an Antarctic expedition. Here's what his ad said, Ernest Shackleton. Men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in event of success. And there's a story that claims this candid approach of Shackleton attracted 5,000 applicants, which he sifted into piles, and he labeled them mad, hopeless, and possible before he picked his 27 crew that went with him to the Antarctic. You know, in America, the Marines, they advertise, they used to anyway, saying we need a few good men. And they have a lot of people who want to do that. They have that selective bunch. But what do we do sometimes as Christians? We try to make it so easy to be a disciple. And I'm not saying that you're saved by anything except by grace. But that grace has a response. That grace results in a change. We won't go as far as the health and wealth preachers out there that just say, oh, God wants to bless you and give you material blessings and happiness and make you healthy. But we tend to major on grace, don't we? That part of it. And downplay the calling part and resulting obedience in our preaching and what we communicate. But Jesus never did that. He was clear about the focus based on our faith and assurance that would be necessary to truly follow Him and go into eternal life. Yes, we're saved by grace through faith, but as I said, that grace changes us, and because of that change, as we grow in godly values and that righteousness is working in our lives, it makes it hard to follow Christ. Narrow, as we're going to live for the Lord and truly live by His values. I know we're saved only by grace through faith. Don't misunderstand me. And there's nothing we do to earn heaven. We don't do anything. It's only by what Christ has done, and we trust in Him. But that has a response. That transforms our life. And it's difficult as we grow and we live out those values. So this is based in our relationship with God. We're going to see our renewal in thinking, our repentance, our resistance. And this is why Jesus says, you've got to, or in another place, He says, you're going to follow me, you've got to take up your cross and deny yourself. Can't be like the guy who says, you know, to his wife, well, honey, I'd do anything for you, throw myself in front of a train, but he won't sacrifice, you know, watching TV or doing something else in the daily things, you know. Or like this guy, he said, you know, the devil never bothers me. And his friend looked at him and said, well, two people walking in the same direction, going the same way, rarely bump into each other. But how do we follow in this narrow way? By saying no, by digging deeper, by pressing harder, and by standing firmer. Here's some practical how-tos of this narrow way. Number one, by saying no. And this deals with the commands of Christ and our relationship with God. See, the first how-to to following the narrow way that leads to life practically, at the heart of it is our relationship with God, what this sermon's all about, through Christ. It involves saying no because it's tied to the commands of God, which stand for the character of God that we belong to. We're saved to become like this God. That's what the sermon's all about. We're saved by grace, entering in this narrow road that leads to life because we know the God who is life. And his character is in the commands of his word that are restrictive. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, you see, not only because he's the only way we're saved through his work, but also in following his ways. He's only the way. He's only the truth and the way to God. See, before a person is saved, they think this is restrictive, right? To follow Christ, how is that freedom? How is that life? But when you come to salvation, you begin to see, I know this God who alone is truth. And, you know, it's walking with him is restrictive. Because when we look to God's command, someone said, the law forbids certain actions. It narrows our options. But the law is not the ultimate restricting principle. The character of God is. The pattern of our character is in him. And we know that God is faithful. Therefore, we're to be growing in faithfulness. And it's not easy. God is generous. We're to grow to be generous. God is forgiving. We've seen this in the sermon. But this is part of how we walk in the narrow way. Is to grow in our relationship with God. Know that that is true freedom alone. And to walk with him and to say no. To follow the commands of God. And that leads me to number two. That's confession to Christ by digging deeper. It's the second way, and it involves renewal. Not only our relationship with the Father, but within that, our minds, our thinking being renewed, and we dig deeper and we grow in the beliefs that we have in the Christian life. That's the second way, or how, of the narrow way, is that our minds are renewed. We follow in that narrow path based on the Word of God and the Gospel, and we dig deeper. To follow Christ, in other words, is distinctive, of course, because we have the Word of God that changes our thinking, helps us to know who our God is. And it's different than the world, of course. But as we dig deep and we get into His truths, our hearts are transformed, we grow to know what His kingdom is all about, and yet we know it makes it difficult as we walk with God. It's restrictive as we live in a world out of sync with that. But what does Romans 12:2 say? Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds. So we go into God's Word and we begin to think in our relationship with Him, His ways. And we walk in that way and we trust Him. And we grow to know the beauty of His truth and where life really is. And we dig deeper. And we know where our true freedom and life comes from in the Gospel and in the Word of God. We can't be like Peter Marshall, he once said. We can be as Christians like people all suited up in scuba gear, diving gear, marching bravely to pull out plugs in the bathtub. Now, we don't want to be like that. We want to grow in knowing who we are in Christ so we can live out the faith and be strong in our faith and live and search for the kingdom, as Jesus said. There are few who find it. What did Paul say? He said, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which I've been called heavenwardly in Jesus Christ. How about this one? Our commitment to Christ. We press harder. We say no, we dig deeper, and we press harder. Commitment to Christ. This deals with repentance. If you're going to walk in the narrow way and me, then at the heart of the Christian life means we're living in a way where we say no to sin. We say no to the easy way, the broad path, and yes, more and more to the way that's narrow, that's difficult. Let me explain. It involves repentance. Someone said the narrow gate and difficult road are metaphors for repentance and kingdom ethics. And the relative few who find this route are true disciples. So the gate is narrow if you think about it because people can miss it. They can miss it, of course, if they don't believe in Christ. There's no other way but Him, right? But if they can't just say, well, I believe in Jesus and not be repentant of sin. If they deny their sinners. If they won't live by a lifestyle of repentance and turning. What did Jesus say at the beginning of Matthew? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And they miss it because it means to follow Him, you must turn from sin, trust in Him, and walk with Him, and live in that lifestyle of repentance, which means I'm going to live for Christ. I'm not going to live the easy way of this world. Because what is it? Sin, very many times, it can seem like the easy way to go. It can seem the natural way to go, to live for yourself, to live according to the world. And repentance can seem very difficult and unnatural. and to admit that we have sinned, that we have errors, that we've struggled in our relationship, that we were wrong in our marriage, that we were wrong in dealing with that with a Christian. That's the difficult way, is the way of repentance, following Jesus Christ. But we must continue to walk in that way of discipleship with discipline and focus, with a lifestyle of repentance. We've got to take up our cross daily and deny ourselves to follow Jesus Christ. Like this old professional NFL coach in America, he used to say his goal was to get 50 grown men to do what they didn't want to do in physical training to accomplish what they were desperate to accomplish, which was win. But they didn't want to do it. And sometimes we don't either, do we, as Christians? You know, I've been doing some weight training lately, hoping I don't pull my back out with some of these young guys in the church. And I thought I would never do squats and deadlifts again after high school. Really didn't want to. But I also have realized, you know, there is pain physically in doing these things, but there can be progress and strength that only comes that way. How much more true is that in the Christian life? I mean, I found it with physical exercise. Don't want to get up early in the morning at 6 o'clock to go out and run around and play to get exercise. You know, don't want to go to weight training, but I know there are ones holding me accountable. And how much more should this be true for us as Christians? God helps us to learn to say no to the world, our sin, and ourselves, so we can say yes to Him and growing in the kingdom. And that's through a lifestyle of repentance, so that we'll grow in His grace and His generosity. What Paul tell Timothy? He said, physical training is good for some things, but spiritual training for eternal life. And by the way, with that weightlifting, we're doing some time in the Word as well. At times trying to do that as well, of course. But it takes discipline, doesn't it, to live the Christian life? Even just to do the things, the basic things, to come to church, to read your Bible regularly, to pray, to serve, to give, to sacrifice. But those are all things God does as we walk in the way, the narrow way that leads to life. Doriani said, the other road is easy. Most prefer to do what they please, at least in the short run. It lets them, the easy road, do just that. Get up when they feel tired of sleeping on a Saturday, or eat whatever appeals to their eye. Only give or keep the promises that are convenient, or the rules if it doesn't interfere with their schedules. That's the way of sin, but not the way of the Christian life. How about standing firmer as we close here in a moment? Clarity in Christ. There's got to be resistance. We live in this world, don't we, as we get into God's Word and we start to understand who He is and the reality of the way that we walk in and what His righteousness is about. But we live it in a culture, don't we, that is much like the time of Judges, where it says that they each did what is right in their own eyes. And we see that, don't we? It seems like the road is getting broader and broader as we go through history, doesn't it? And in our times now, just people say, hey, just tolerate and live this way, and it's all fine, and don't mess with what I believe or what I want to do. And it seems so good to some people, so attractive to live in that broad road. But we have to stand firm, don't we? Have a growing clarity in God's Word and in Christ. And then finally, we've got to fix our eyes on the gold. Here's the why, verse 14, as we close. Jesus, as someone said, wants to motivate us as Christians to enter in by the gate ourselves, but then to help others to enter in through evangelism, through making disciples. So Jesus is concerned here, not so much with whether, yes, sometimes the church grows, and He's not saying, well, it's only a true church if there's just a few people in it. You know, don't misquote this, misunderstand this. There are times God blesses His church with a lot of growth, but He is concerned with the individual, first of all, saying, have I entered in the gate that's narrow? Am I walking on that path that leads to life? And that the way of righteousness is not optional. He said, Luke, make sure and make every effort to enter in through the narrow gate. David Turner, this guy I read, he pictured this well. He said, it might be more helpful to picture a wall with a narrow gate and a wide gate that you could easily go in, the wide gate, and once you get inside that, the path is smooth. But he says, suddenly, as if a bridge has disastrously collapsed, one arrives in hell. The wide path that promised freedom has ended up in separation. But he said, when one takes the difficult step of entering in through Christ by grace and repentance, the narrow gate, and walking by faith, that faith that changes us, that is not easy. Although the path of discipleship is very arduous, he said, suddenly they are in and they enter into the kingdom and eternal life. The rugged path that threatened to destroy has ended in one sharing in the life of God and His kingdom, the Father's, for all eternity. That's a great picture of it, I think. Those who take the easy road find in their horror it will go to the most terrible of destinations possible. But for those of us in Christ, the narrow road leads to life and eternal joy with Christ. And so there's a couple lessons as we close. We're going to reap what we sow in this life, right? If we just keep doing certain things, we're going to find those things. We reap what we sow. Even in this life, don't we? Discipline, though, walking with Christ, we're going to see the spiritual fruit growing. If we don't do that, we're not going to see it over time. It may not happen at first, but we reap what we sow in this life. And we actually only grow through the struggle. There's a movie called The League of Their Own, and it's about women's baseball in the U.S., based on a true story in the 40s. And in that film, the team star catcher who catches the ball from the pitcher decides to quit just before the championship. She said, "It just got too hard," she told the manager in the story. And the manager looks at her and said, "Too hard? It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, then everyone would do it." But he said, "It's the hard that makes it great." Now, we don't feel that way sometimes as Christians, do we? But we know the hard, the way of Christ, is the only way. We know it's the truth. We're growing to know it's the right way. And though we struggle, we look to Christ, we walk with Him, and we realize that more and more, and we know God the Father in Jesus Christ as we walk in that narrow way. And we know that it's about Him. That's why we've got to be discerning. As we'll see next week, He talks about spiritual fruit, spiritual trees, because we've got to be fed in the truth. That's the only way we can live for what's right and for God's kingdom, is as we grow in that discernment. So let's close today as we ask for God's grace in prayer. Gracious Lord, we come before You and we ask for Your blessing, Lord, and Your grace, Lord, as we close today. And we pray that You'll strengthen us, Lord, to live in the narrow way of the kingdom, Lord, that alone leads to life through faith in Jesus Christ. And You'll protect us, Lord, from the attacks of the enemy, and that You'll help us, Lord, to be focused, Lord, on You and to face that choice, Lord. Ultimately, if there's anyone who's never faced that choice to turn from sin and trust in You, I pray that they'll do that today. But give us each strength to face the choices we do and to walk with You. And, Lord, to focus on You and have that discipline, Lord, in the narrow way. And, Lord, to fix our eyes on the eternal goal, Lord, and all that we have in Jesus Christ as we walk through this world. And Lord, use us, Lord, to build each other up and share this message. Lord, we give You all thanks and praise in Jesus' name.